scratches on their faces. Maybe Mildred, Christy, and Jack slipped free and were safe in the jungle. But there was no way of telling without giving away their presence on the island fortress. He would have to play this very carefully, or they'd all go under the yoke. More buildings moved past the companions, sturdy brick and concrete structures, most with sandbags lining the roofs as protection from incoming cannonballs. No children were in sight here, no peddlers or dogs, and Ryan knew they'd reached the Ville's heart, the Baron's fortress. As the cart rattled to a halt in a small courtyard, a dozen men surrounded the iron cage with blasters in their hands. Most were muzzle-loading flintlocks, but a few were pre-dark revolvers, and one tall, bald man with small ears carried a Thompson machine gun. Ryan marked him as the sec chief. Burly men walked forward with wrenches and released the chains, only after a lot of grunting and a few bleeding knuckles. J.B. reasoned this wasn't standard procedure for prisoners, and wondered what made them special, and how the info could be used to their advantage. The companions exited one at a time, the pirates keeping them covered with several blasters. Each had the ropes on his feet cut away, but they were lashed together again by chains around their necks. In single file, the companions marched along the brick street, unable to do more than study their surroundings. The fortress, rising before them, sported iron grills on the windows and a massive double door, thick enough to stop any blaster round. Inside, the floor was smooth marble, pre-dark lighting fixtures adorning the high ceilings, the walls decorated with faded pictures, and recently added gun racks. Doc reasoned this abode was formerly a museum for the tourists, visiting the paradise of the Marshall Islands.
Stop searching for a way out.
Ugh, son of a bitch.
If the Baron didn't want you alive, I'd flay it till your bones dropped out for such insolence.
So, the Pirate Baron really did want them alive.
Good.
Spinning, Ryan slammed the toe of his boot into the man's gut with all his strength. The tip hit just below the lip of the rib cage. Going livid, the pirate staggered backward and dropped his whip, then toppled over.
Stop your gaffing.
The driver nudged the man with a long blaster. There was no response.
Pete? Nuke me. He got no breath. Lieutenant Potter, the fucking Outlander, aced him.
Aced him with a kick? Most impressive.
Pete was me mate. You motherfucker. I ought to chill you right here.
Belay that!
The pirates stopped advancing toward the prisoners. Lieutenant Potter then shifted the aim of his rapid fire toward the chained men.
Nobody goes near Blackie anymore. That bastard's dangerous. Keep your blasters on him at all times. Next move he makes, wound the boy and castrate him on the spot.
Saying nothing, Ryan locked eyes with the lieutenant, and they exchanged a private conversation. Then Ryan eased his stance and started walking along the corridor.
Yes, very dangerous, I see. Maybe you are exactly what we need.
Try that move again, One-Eye, and this pepper box will show your guts the ground.
Right.
Marching along some branching corridor and up a grand flight of stairs, the guards stopped the prisoners before an ornate door covered with delicate carvings and intact human hides, the skin perfectly tanned, and complete in every detail, from the scalp to the genitalia.
In the name of...
No talking, bitch!
What are you doing to Thompson? Boss said alive.
You're mine, prick.
Uncaring, the big guards at the door watched the events, but did nothing. Both were armed with big bore revolvers, the ammo loops in their police gun belts full of fat rounds. The men were scraped clean and smelled faintly of perfume, their clothing sharply pressed and meticulously clean. Stepping close so nobody else could see, Potter gave the guard some kind of complicated hand signal. They responded, then drew their blasters and pushed back the heavy doors, admitting the prisoners into the next room. The barrels of their blasters never wavered from the passing Outlanders. A short antechamber led past what resembled a ticket booth and then opened into an auditorium filled with rows of chairs. At the far end was a stage with a single huge chair on a raised dais. An older man was sitting in the simple throne, while a group of frowning men studied the wreckage of the Bob Marley. A long table nearby held their backpacks and weapons laid out on display. Shuffling his boots along the ratty carpet, Ryan almost smiled at the sight, but again withheld comment.
Yes, I can have my girls patch these bags. But what do we fill them with?
We'll ask them.
Baron Withers rose from his throne. The man stood big and broad, at first looking fat to the newcomers, but under closer inspection there was only hard muscle showing. Long curly hair was braided into a ponytail and tucked inside his pants, and every inch of exposed skin was a dark brown. But whether naturally or from decades under the tropical sun, there was no way of knowing. The Baron wore military fatigues, clean but rumpled, as if put on in a hurry. Matching revolvers were tucked into his wide leather belt. The handles turned inward for a cross-draw, and an Uzi submachine gun hung over one shoulder. JB didn't recognize it as his blaster. Same make and model, but then Millie had told him that the Uzi was one of the most popular rapid-fires before Skydark. Only made sense he'd encounter another someday. As the guards moved away from the prisoners, Potter kept them covered with the rapid-fire.
This them, Lieutenant?
Bruised, but alive.
Thought we'd lose at least one. Okay. Who are you, and what are you doing on my island?
You the Baron here?
The boy.
With a roundhouse swing, a guard punched Dean in the side of the head. The boy dropped. He held his face in both hands, blood dribbling onto the floor. Barely controlling his rage, Ryan wasn't surprised at the results. Although Dean was strong for his age, he was still a boy, not a man yet.
You were talking to me.
Then answer my bastard questions. And the next time you answer a question with a question, Andrew will remove an ear.
A guard drew a wicked knife, the curved blade deeply serrated, made for sawing through bone. He offered a broken-tooth grin.
Aye, sir.
I know the formula for black powder.
The guards thought that was the funniest comment they'd ever heard. Their reaction startled the companions. The formula had been an ace in the hole. Black powder was the backbone of the Lord Baron's wealth and power. Nobody alive knew what it was made of.
Do you now? How nice. Well, so do I. Forced it from one of the Lord Baron's barrel boys 4 seasons ago. That won't buy you anything here, Outlander.
Name's Ryan. That's Doc, JB, and Dean.
Better. Now, tell me about your flying machine.
I think it's broken.
A snarling guard rushed forward, but Ryan blocked the man's way with his body.
Harm another one of us, and you're dead in the water. This isn't something simple like black powder. You'll never get the airwag to fly again without our help. Our willing help. Or else the blast will level this bastard island.
It was obviously a lie. But how much was bullshit, how much truth?
Fair enough. We'll cut a deal. Potter, remove their chains.
My lord?
Do it!
After all, we have their 3 friends, and at the first lie...
The Baron drew a thumb along his neck. Ryan felt hope flare deep inside, and tried his best not to show any emotion. They were alive. The chains around their necks were removed, but the ropes around their hands stayed in place. Ryan didn't mind. It was the metal that had been holding them back. Now they could make a move.
So tell us, what are these bags filled with?
You want that here? With all these ears present?
Stop stalling. These are my private counsel. What I know, so do they. Now start talking.
Doc invented it.
Indeed I did, sir. And I will elucidate, if I may.
Talk English, motherfucker.
But of course, your noble highness.
Highness, that's a good one. I may keep you around, old-timer.
Which meant the rest would be killed as soon as the secret of the balloon was revealed. Doc had a terrible flashback of being captured by Court Strasser, who tortured him horribly every day. The old man shook his head. Never again would that happen. Doc would rather die than suffer such ignoble torment once again.
Do you have any chalk? I need to draw a picture.
Chalk?
It is a soft white stone used to make pictures. No chalk, eh? Never mind. I can use a knife and scratch a picture on the floor.
The old man went to his knees and ran hands along the old wood's veneer.
Yes, this will do nicely.
No knives.
But I do need something. Ah, my cane. It has a steel tip. I can use my cane. Surely that is not a